Welcome to Botanical Trails Through the Juniper Forest. I'm your host, Brian Heater. Each week, I'll have a different guest join me to explore a pair of interesting gins. We'll chat a little bit about the gin and the distilleries, throw in a bit of trivia, hopefully laugh a bit, and then we'll go off the beaten path. Although I say that this is a podcast about gin, really this is just an excuse for me to spend time with my friends. But that'll just be our secret. Okay, let's start exploring. My guest today, a returning guest.
Returning.
Andy Jester. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for having me back.
Yeah, you cut out of work a little early, eh?
A little early. Perfect. Yeah, thanks for giving me a hall pass on the time I was supposed to be here a few weeks
ago. No, you're totally fine. I am excited to have you on today. We are wrapping up my Rhine River Chronicle series. And as you and I had chatted about earlier this week, we're going to do a couple of French gins. These are a couple of gins I discovered in Strasbourg when we made our stop there. So let's just dive into the first gin.
Now, where is Strasbourg?
Where is Strasbourg? Mm-hmm. It is right along the Rhine River. So here's the funny thing about Strasbourg. Like about six times over the past 120 years, it's either been French or German. It just depends on where the boundary got moved to after the last war. So since like 45, it's been part of France again.
Funny enough, I think Jenny and my family is from that area. So after it changed hands like 16 times, they're like, we're going to America.
Well, because I'll mention it to people. I'm like, oh yeah, we had a city in France, Strasbourg, and everyone would be like, I thought that was in Germany. I was like, well, it used to be.
It used to be.
Long before any of us were alive. But yes, it used to be. So, but we were actually, I was out to lunch with my mom and sisters. We went to just this little, actually, a little German restaurant. And I'm looking at the menu, and all of a sudden the menu says, they offer an artisanal gin. And I was like, oh, I'll take one of those, please. I'll take a gin and tonic of that. And she brings it over, and I take like a couple sips, and I just pass it over to my sisters. I'm like, let me know if I'm crazy. Like, yeah. I think this is really good. And they're both like, yeah, this is good. So I got another one of those. And then And then I asked, I was like, hey, where can I get a bottle? And they pointed me to a liquor store. I went there, they had it there. And then there, I was like, hey, do you guys have any other local ones? Mm-hmm. And then that's how I also discovered the second one. I got to taste a couple. Yeah. So anyhow, that's how we came across these two gins, which is sort of funny because these were the first two gins I bought on the trip. Mm. But we're wrapping up the show with them. So our first gin, though, this is the one that I discovered at the little German restaurant. This is Distillerie de Strasbourg gin. It is a London dry gin that's distilled right there in Strasbourg. So, and it's made from just local stuff. It's local raw materials from all of their organic farming in that area.
Who owns the farms? The French or the Germans? Well, they'll share it.
Yeah, exactly. And it, from what I can tell, there's like 8 botanicals in it. Okay. And they're listed right on the label that I forgot to bring in here, but that's no big deal. So,
That juniper's one of them.
So give this a try. Okay. Let me know what you think. So cheers.
Hey, cheers.
Coming on.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
That is really good. Mm-hmm. Was this the first one you had there or the second?
Yeah, I tried this and I was just like, man, this is good. And then, I gave it to my sisters and I'm like, what do you guys think? And
they're like, oh my gosh, that's really good.
Yeah,
I like really that a lot. Tasty.
So this distillery de Strasbourg, it's relatively new. It opened in 2019. It was the creation of 4 friends there. Chloe, Arnaud, Julien, and Nicholas. They actually undertook a crowdfunding campaign to raise capital for it. And then when they were getting the distillery up and running, they also obtained the organic agricultural label, which I'm assuming is kind of a big thing in France. So, in addition to the London dry gin that we're enjoying, they also distill a Russian Dal vodka, Esprit de Malt, which is their whiskey, and they also do a gin rose, gin rosa, and that one has 12 botanicals in it. And what we're drinking today is just a gin and tonic, and I made it with the Fever Tree Mediterranean tonic and then just a little bit of lime in there, but I think it's a pretty tasty.
What's the number
treat.
One thing you taste in this? Out of the botanicals, just guessing or asking. It's the first thing that pops out when I took a sip of it. I just ate a banana.
Something I cannot identify.
To me, I think it kind of tastes like lavender a little bit.
Oh, maybe.
Doesn't it kind of... And I did not read the bottle. I don't know
if I've ever eaten lavender.
If you smell it and go...
You know what? When we take the intermission break, I'll bring the bottle in here and we'll see if that's one of the...
Yeah, because I did not read it, but to me, it's like the first thing that I kind of taste a little bit is lavender. Because... I think they make lavender mints and things like that.
Oh, lavender's definitely in gin.
It's edible.
Sure.
And to me, it kind of tastes like lavender. I really like it a lot, though. It's
florally
is what I call it.
Yeah, no, these are... I like both of these gins, but this one I think is just super tasty. It makes a great gin and tonic. So, but Strasbourg was the only stop during the trip that we had in France, but it was one of my favorite stops. It was a cool city, just reminding me of... Just a very European city. You know, they had a big town square with a huge church.
Nice.
And there's, you know, just restaurants and stuff all around it. So you could sit there. Mm-hmm. The church was pretty amazing. They had this, like, huge, like, clock. I think I've got a picture on my phone. And it was super elaborate. But that was a really nice church. Our the guide that we had that day, it was like a two-hour guided tour through Strasbourg. He was great. And then we just got to hang out. So, like, we went to this restaurant. My sister Amy went and had a perfume made for her older daughter, Gemma.
Oh,
we went
nice.
To this art store and we got some stuff for her younger daughter, Esme. It was a cool place to like shop.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the city's right on the river because you were on the ship that stopped right on the river. Did they kind of like
and then
ship
we just had
in?
To take like a little bus.
I'm going to bus them.
Bus in and I didn't know we were going to do this. I wish I would have snapped a picture, but when we were going from the docks or wherever into the city, we passed a French Foreign Legion like recruitment office.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I think once you step in there, you just never step out again.
Yeah, yeah. You're gone.
They ship you off to the desert. 12
you're
going to
be in some small island out in the middle of the Pacific.
12 years later, you come back with a tan and a beard.
This is great, Ken, Brian.
No,
I really
it is
like
really
it.
Good.
I'm drinking it too fast because it's so good.
Now, in terms of France, you've been to, is it only Paris or have you been to other
Paris.
Cities?
Yep, I've been to Paris and I've been outside of Paris to Disneyland Paris, which, or Euro Disney or whatever they call it now.
I don't know.
But the funny thing about that, when we went there, I was there on my honeymoon and we spent most of the time in Paris and then we took a day trip out to Disney Paris or Euro Disney, whatever they call it. Well, it was like 3 weeks before the Walt Disney Corporation took it back, because when it was first built, they built it as a joint venture with some European-based company. And Disney's we're not going to give you 50 cents in the dollar anymore. We're taking this all back.
Now, I heard they got upset because they made their Mickey Mouse wear a beret. Is that true?
They did, and he could only eat crepes. There weren't churros, just crepes. But while we were there, because it was about 3 weeks before the joint venture with this company that Disney basically axed out of the picture ended, nothing was open. So you walked around, and the ride would just say, like, closed for improvements, or, you know...
What?
Or, you know... Please,
were they, like,
please step away.
Inventorying everything.
Yeah, I think so. Disney was like, "How many balloons do you have? You owe us 5, right?"
They give you like a half price on the ticket if nothing was running?
It was the full price euro. So we walked through. I would say if the normal Disneyland or Magic Kingdom has 50 rides open, this had about 20. Everyone we'd be excited to go to, we run to, and they don't run to it. They just kind of walk by, passively, and just be like, "Ugh, Americans."
Yeah. Smoking a cigarette, carrying a baguette.
So actually, when we did what's called rope drop, which means you get there first thing in the morning before the park opens, and then you can run in. Right. So, you know, here in the United States, if you're at Disneyland or Magic Kingdom, you're going to run to one of their big rides, right? The Space Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain, whatever it is. So we are pushing aside children. I mean, there was like a 3-year-old I booted out of the way. I'm like, move. I'm like, running. Book it to Space Mountain. We beat the cast members there. I mean, we're standing there for like 15 minutes. We're like, okay, we're at, like, no one was in line. It's just completely different culture than ours here in America. There's just more like about just kind of walking around looking at the sights in the park. Funny enough, then Disney took back over the park, and I've heard it's really nice, but I haven't been back since then. So, to answer your question, most of the time I was in Paris.
Okay. How long were you there?
We were there 8 days.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, 8 days. And it was great. You know, I love France. I really do. I've been to Italy and France and Austria and took a couple-hour trip into Slovenia once by getting lost on a road. And all I remember about Slovenia is I think I had some hard liquor and that they said it was schnapps, I think, and lots of pumpkins. That's all I remember.
Really?
Was it yeah, like they fall? Grow pumpkins there.
Or it that's was. A it was big
fall.
Thing. That's
yeah,
a
it was
big
fall because I was there for Oktoberfest.
Oh, is that a big export for Slovenia?
Yeah, I asked a friend of mine who's Austrian why okay. there's so many pumpkins there. And because pumpkins are a new world food, right? They're from here. And evidently, the seeds of these pumpkins were brought to Central Europe. And when the Ottoman Turks had a bunch of the territory there in Eastern Europe, places like Slovenia and Hungary, and they planted these as a crop. And so to this day, they're still grown wildly throughout all of that area of Central Europe.
Huh.
So I was surprised to see it. It felt yeah. like you were around here, you know, with all of our pumpkin patches.
Right, yeah.
It was neat. It was a neat time. But so was the hard liquor I drank there, too. It was yeah. very good. I still don't know what it was. It just came in a bottle with an X on the label, and next thing I woke up and I was in Salzburg the next day.
Yeah. So Strasbourg ends up being like the fourth sort of city I've gotten to spend time in. Actually, I wasn't in like a big city when I first got to France. It was down near, it was south of Nice. It was like...
Was Nice nice?
It was okay. No, it was just the airport. I only got to see the airport.
No, because it's spelled
so I understand. And then we went to Lyon, and that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I saw the women's World Cup semifinal between the U.S. and England. Like, that was a lot of fun. And then we Jim and I went to Paris, and we had an apartment for like a week.
Mm.
And we just kind of like hung out, like primarily like in our neighborhood, but I really liked it there.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it there. Mm-hmm. And then we got to spend this day in Strasbourg. But that on that cruise that we went from Switzerland up to Amsterdam, this was the only stop in France that we had. So.
Oh, so it went from Switzerland all the way up into Amsterdam?
Yeah, it started in Basel.
Okay.
And then worked its way up. Strasbourg was the only French, a lot of German, and then we had two stops in the Netherlands. Mm. The first one was, it was not even like, it was more like a town almost. It was really to see like some windmills that they had there, and I didn't do that. And then we went to Amsterdam, and then we ended up spending two nights at a hotel in Amsterdam.
Oh,
so
nice.
And that was cool. So, nice. But Strasbourg, I would say Strasbourg, France, and then Cologne, Germany.
Mm.
Those were my two favorite stops.
Places. Yeah, I've been to London, I've been to England, been to France.
I'd never been anywhere in Germany until I had done this one.
Yeah, I've been throughout Germany. I love the food in Germany. It's the best part. And the people are really nice there, too.
In Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everyone, I mean, was really nice. And I know I've mentioned this on other episodes of the podcast when I've been doing these Rhine River gins, but I was shocked at how big of an industry these river cruises are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's unreal how many of these ships are just going, like, up and down.
Mm-hmm. So. Because most of the major cities in Europe are built on the rivers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I had no idea, like, these river cruises were just so popular. In fact, and I may have mentioned this, when we were in, I'm pretty sure it was Cologne, our tour guide was telling us, like, the city has asked the cruise companies, they're like, you gotta, like...
Oh, cut down on it?
Yeah, you can't keep adding. Like, we're running out of space.
Yeah. We're capped.
We're like, and you're, like, overrunning the city to some extent. Like, we're good. Like, but, yeah, I had no idea, like, how big of an industry that was over there, how popular it was. I mean, it was a great way to see everything. And they made traveling, like, super easy. Like, that was all really good. But I just had no idea how popular that was over there. So,
sounds great.
I'm
gonna do that.
And you can do it, like... all over there. And in fact, they have river cruises now, like in the U.S., like saying that Viking.
There's one here in the Great Lakes that will go from.
Yeah, you know, it's a Muskegon bigger. It's almost Chicago. Like a mini cruise ship or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be nice. I like to do it.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we could drive, but.
Yeah,
I mean, we're here.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
But
I like to ride on the water. I don't like to swim in the water. You know that? In a pool, I'll go in, but not like a big open lake.
Will you go in any lake? If we went to Lake Michigan and it was 90 degrees out and there wasn't much of a breeze and we had to get in the water to cool off, would you go into the water?
Could I touch the sand at the bottom? Or would just
Yeah, we're just going into the water.
Oh, I'll walk into the water.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'll walk in if I don't go like above my knees. But if you put me out on a boat, like off the shore and told me to jump in, I wouldn't do it. I'd go down with the ship.
But would you like swim around in the lake if you could, like, if you could swim, but as soon as you stood up, like, you could
touch, that'll do.
Like, we weren't out deep. Like, yes. You would go underwater.
I'll go underwater as long as I can stand up on the sand. But if I went to stand up and all I could feel is more water under me, oh, game over.
What about in the ocean where stuff can eat you?
Oh, absolutely not. Sharks.
Would you even step into it?
No, sharks come and get me. No, I'll step into it and go out to about my knees and I'll splash myself with some of the water. Say, well, that was a good swim, and then I'll go back to shore. But no, I don't like going in deep water. It's like, why would people do that? That's why we grew legs, you know?
I get it. Yeah, I don't know that I would want to, like, jump off into the deep. But I would do it, but I would quickly probably get back in the boat. Yeah. I wouldn't, like, be floating around out
there. I watch these things on, like, the Discovery Channel. These people are swimming around with sharks and stingrays and crap. I'm like, what in the hell are you thinking?
My sister Lori, she and her husband, they went off the coast of Mexico, and they put him in a cage, mm-hmm. in, like, scuba outfit, but a cage, but sank him so that they could look at great white sharks.
Oh, absolutely not.
And I'm like, thing locked? I don't like doing anything where if something might just go wrong, it'll kill me.
Yeah.
I mean, outside, I fly, I get on planes, right? Yeah. So I'm
Those are relatively
safe. Like, I would never skydive.
No.
I would not do what Lori does, get anywhere, like, when, I don't know, it was like 2015, mm-hmm. Lori took my mom to Australia, mm-hmm. and I joined them in Sydney, but then they were going up to, I can't remember what it was called, but they were going up where they could go out to the Great Barrier Reef and stuff, and they're like, did you want to tag along? And I was like, no, there's a bunch of stuff up there that'll kill you.
They all will.
No joke.
The food there will kill you.
While they're there, saltwater crocodile or something killed someone down, like, the road from where they were at.
Yeah, no way.
I'm not, I don't know. I like being alive and just, I don't want to deal with that other stuff.
No, thanks. I'll sit on the shore. I'll sit on a boat and have a beer, a drink, and exactly. Say, okay, that's good.
I'll admire everything.
I'll admire it, but as soon as I got to get in the water and, you know, play Russian roulette with Jaws, no thanks.
All right. Are you ready? We had talked about this. You said you would like to go first today for trivia.
Sure.
So let's see what we have in store for today.
I hope it's a...
I will disown you as a cousin-in-law if you don't get this right.
Okay. So,
with what is the popular game Gin Rummy played?
With what?
With what?
Cards.
Exactly. Good job. Man, this would have been great in the last episode Greg was on, and my off the beaten path was the movie Flamingo Kid. I don't know if you ever saw it, but Gin Rummy is a big part of that. Would have been hilarious if we were.
Now I have another movie I need to see. I just watched The Last American Virgin last weekend. First time in my life. I can't believe it.
No, that movie's hilarious.
It's absolutely hilarious.
I'm pretty sure it came out when I was in high school.
How did I grow up my whole life, born in the 70s, raised in the 80s, and not
Because that movie was not as popular as others.
Yeah.
And then you came like 9 years after me, and then you had a whole different slew
things
of
like
movies that were coming
out. Fast Times at Ridgemont High and those types of things. Those are the movies everybody has seen, but I've never seen this one.
Animal House. Stripes, Caddyshack, Meatballs.
Yes. I watched Caddyshack the next day.
I mean, those are classic.
Right.
And then Last American Virgin is kind of like, it's not quite as hilarious as those, but it's good. But then you came along. Were you in high school when like... oh, crap. What was the movie series? American Pie.
I was in high school then. Or actually, it may have been right after.
Because that was based, you know, that was one of the guys lived
here,
right
Eastern
here.
Rapids,
Eastern
right?
Eastern Rapids, yeah.
Out of all of those movies, all the ones, like, from when we were kids, which one's your favorite?
Oh, Animal House.
Animal Houses?
Literally, I am not joking. Mm-hmm. I've seen that movie more than anything else, and I bet I've seen it over 80 times.
Like, really?
My Aunt Dee had it on VHA. Mm-hmm. VHS tape, and Jim would come over and we would just watch that movie. I can recite the entire, like, it is, and we got so good that we could hear what they're saying in the background. Like, it was
what's your favorite scene from that movie?
Oh man, I don't, that whole movie, just
my favorite part, when he's walking down the stairs and smashes the guitar.
Oh yeah, Belushi, when he does that, like, that one's great. I don't know, that whole movie is just I mean, they would never make that movie. No,
oh, not now.
They would never.
Oh gosh, no.
But
no, they'd look at the script and burn it.
Oh yeah.
And
then that movie.
Not in today's
just,
world, right?
That, of those, like, mm-hmm. I would say that, then Caddyshack, Stripes, Slapshot, Meatballs. Like, mm-hmm. I would rank, like, when I was
actually a kid. Weird Science. Weird Science is probably that. That's probably, like, my top one. It's just funny. I like it.
Yeah, Weird Science. Yeah, Weird Science is really well done. Mm-hmm. Like, Weird Science, but Weird Science I would lump in more with, like, Breakfast Club.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But it has that, you know, sci-fi twist to it.
It does, but it's kind of like one of those high school, yes, you know, that whole genre more so than, like, the other ones. And at least a couple of those were, like, influenced by National Lampoon. I know for sure Animal House was.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that. You know, like, those writers and mm-hmm. stuff came out of there. And mm-hmm. anyhow.
Yeah. The original Vacation, National Lampoon Vacation.
Oh, man. That
is awesome.
So well done.
So well done. It's hilarious.
But so is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, I love
it. As a follow-up, that one is just really well done, too.
Yeah, European Vacation's funny,
too. Yeah, those are just, yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like we get as many of those, like, comedies like that anymore.
You can't.
I feel like they're starting to come out
mm-hmm.
with them a little bit more.
I think the writers are afraid of offending people. Not like when we were kids where everybody got offended.
No, I think you just had to be okay with it.
You know?
No, I think, yeah. No, I think there is certainly a bit of that to it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, a bit of the gratuitous nudity. And, yeah, you know, exactly. Like, nowadays, they're like, why did you have to do that? And it's like, I don't know. They just, you know,
they just did.
Yeah.
It's what got the teenage guys to watch the movies.
Yeah, right. Why were those movies so popular? I don't know.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I am going to go make our second cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be right back. All right. We were back. And, Drew, you're absolutely correct. When I was getting our assortment of beverages ready here, lavender is one of the eight botanicals.
Hey, there we go.
So we will see. So let's give this one a little try. Remember, it's a sipper.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a little try, and we'll see.
When you have the sipper, what's the correct way to do it? Do you just kind of take it like a shot?
I don't do it like a shot. I just do a few little sips.
Do people drink gin straight like this ever?
I think some gins, yes. Yeah. I would probably put it on ice, because the ice melts is going to unlock more of those botanicals, but
that gin is so good, you literally could drink it just like that.
Yeah. Put that on ice.
Yes.
It doesn't burn your throat going down. It's got a nice little flavor. It's really smooth. So, yeah. So that's,
you know how some gins, or alcohol in general, but especially gin, has that kind of medicinal taste, right? That kind of some burning, just different aftertaste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This does not have that at all.
This one's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'll talk more about it, but the second gin
mm-hmm.
is called Gin Josberry.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, because I couldn't find it anywhere online to try it out, but we're just going to go with that from my 3 years in French. So, this one, I think, is going to be different, because it's got nearly three times as many botanicals in it.
Oh, wow.
So, let's give this one
cheers
a try.
What do you taste on that one at the end?
Almost more like minty,
licorice-y.
Like yes.
Doesn't it taste licorice-y?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Very different than the first one.
Yes.
The first one tasted flowery. This one tastes more herbally, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right. It does have
a more like that. Licorice-y and almost cinnamon-ous or something.
Yeah.
It's got an herb in it of some kind.
Yeah. And I didn't find a list of all the botanicals, so I have no idea on this one. So,
it's spicy, is how I would describe it.
That would be a really good way, I think, to describe it. Yes.
The other one's flowery or floral.
Nope, and this one's a little spicy. It was almost more cinnamon that second sip.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. The cocktail I made the exact mm-hmm. same way, so enjoy. It's a gin and tonic with a Mediterranean fever tree and a little...
Awesome. And a squeeze of lime. That's how I always take my G&Ts. Squeeze of lime. I like it.
That's a good gin and tonic.
It is. It's very good.
Yeah.
Definitely spicy. That's how I'd say it. I can taste the spices.
I would agree with that mm-hmm. for sure. So, Gin Josberry, it stands for the Mountain of Joseph, which is named after their founder, Jos Nussbaumer.
Mm-hmm.
This gin is referred to as a mountain or artisanal gin. 25 different plants, a mixture of botanicals, wild berries, and spices go into this gin.
Spices.
So, the distillery that makes it is called the Joseph Nussbaumer Distillery. It's located in Alsace, in the heart of Val de Ville, the Ville Valley. The distillery was founded in 1947. It has gone through three extensions or expansions mm-hmm. since then. Due to where it's located, its continental climate, which would be hot summers, harsh winters, the Val de Ville produces fruits of a quality that are particularly suited for distillation. So they make a wide variety of products. I almost said joie de vie. It's eau de vie, which is a type of like liqueur over there. Some fruit liqueurs.
Eau de vie is like water of life, isn't it?
Something like that, something. Yeah. But I think it's got a little kick to it.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. What's the water of life?
Yeah, it's not like H3O. It's something little, you know. Some aperitifs. And then they also make three types of gins along with an aqua vie. Hmm. So, and that is our second gin. And so this one, I just discovered when we went to the store that was selling the first one. I was just like, hey, do you have any other mm-hmm. like local gins? And they're like, oh yeah. And so I got to try a couple of them, and this is the one that I selected. So
comparing the two,
yep,
not flavor wise but just the manufacturer wise right?
So oh, place okay.
Do you know which one's larger, which one produces more, which one has the further reach?
If I had to guess, this second one, it's, I mean, a more well-established okay. distillery. They make a wider variety of products.
Okay.
You know, the first distillery, they just came into existence like less than 5 years ago, mm-hmm. or about 5 years ago. So the other one has been around since 47. So, mm-hmm. and they're just expanded into more. So they're, if I had to guess, this distillery is
a little bit bigger.
Has bigger capabilities would mm-hmm. be my guess. I mean, and just from what I saw, like online doing the research, like this distillery has at least three different stills, it looked like. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to just produce more. Mm-hmm. It is my guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's great gin though.
They're both good.
Yeah.
And they're both sort of like interesting in their own way. Like you said, this one is like a little spicier. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what would make it, what like a spicy taste like this, like what kind of cocktail that would go well with.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
The first one I think could go into any sort of gin drink, right?
For sure.
It could complement it.
Yeah.
This, because it has so many different flavors in it, you're going to be drinking it pretty much the way it is, right? You're going to have it with tonic or on ice or neat for those, you know, real rugged folks.
Well, that's want to drink so, so I think I sent you that little clip out of my app, Ginventory, mm-hmm. when you're like, mm-hmm. hey, what gins are we doing? And yes. this one was in there, mm-hmm. and I sent it to you. And when you go into the app and you look, and it'll say sometimes like, what tonics go well with this? It didn't list any. It said best. It said best served neat.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. But when in doubt for me, mm-hmm. and I had tried this gin before you came over. Mediterranean is like mm-hmm. always my go-to.
Actually, talking about the tonics real quick, so, you know, other than just the unbranded Faygo tonic that I buy, you know, that the cap is half on. It's been in my fridge for a month. It's half
flat. It's in a plastic bottle.
It's in a plastic. Oh, of course it yeah. is. My gosh, Brian. Yeah. But when you look at the other sorts of tonics out there, right?
Yep.
There's the Mediterranean one. I guess, what are the different flavors of those tonics? Because I know that, what's the brand that makes like the Mediterranean one, the little bottle?
So Fever Tree has been like, for the most part, my go-to. So, and the three of theirs that I utilize the most is Mediterranean is my favorite. Mm-hmm. Elderflower really complements some gins super well.
Sweet, like, right? Elderflower's kind of sweet taste.
A little bit, but sometimes it just seems to like, it's like a skeleton key that like unlocks some of the botanicals, and it's just like,
there's some sort really of liqueur good. I've had out there that has elderflower, and I can't remember.
Oh yeah, and you can get gins that already have elderflower in mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then they make like you know, their Indian tonic or their premium, and I just do the light mm-hmm. versions of those, and they're all good. But I mean, they make, you can't get them all here; they're hard to find. But they also do like a cucumber tonic, which would be great with Hendrix. They do. Mm-hmm.
That's true, because Hendrix has like a cucumber taste to it, right? Which, by the way,
cucumber is one of the botanicals. And
I had a bottle of Hendrix for you that I was supposed to be
bringing. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I've got plenty of gin right now, so just hang on to that. We can sip it with your Faygo tonic.
There we go. Half open bottle.
But San Pellegrino was another tonic company I really like, but They might be out of the tonic business. Like, I literally can't find it anywhere. And they had two really good
tonics. The same one that makes the soda water, right?
Yep.
The natural water.
And they had a
water.
Citrus tonic, and then they had this, like, Oakwood tonic. Mm. And those two were both also really good. But yeah, I think one of the things I've enjoyed as I've gotten more into gin is just trying to find, like, the tonic that, like, complements mm-hmm. it the best, just because gin and tonic is kind of my go-to because it's such just a quick, easy cocktail
to make. Oh, it's refreshing. It's
yeah.
great.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're super tasty. So, but yeah, so this one is just the Mediterranean mm-hmm. and a little dash of lime there for us. So,
I like it. Now, when you were in France in this area, overall, because, you know, France is a large country. I think is Germany or France larger? I think Germany's larger.
Germany, I think, okay. is larger.
But it's a very large country, lots of people. While you were in that area, did you notice most of the locals drinking wine or gin or hard liquor? Or what did you see most people drinking? I'm just curious, when you were out socializing.
We were only in Strasbourg, like, from the morning through mm-hmm. the late afternoon. So, I mean, people weren't drinking, like, a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Not my but, people, then. Right, yeah. That's why my family left.
I was like, yeah.
We're in the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. What is this, amateur hour?
It's noon.
But, like, you would see, obviously, like, out in the square, like, mm-hmm. especially in the afternoon, like, Aperol spritzes were popular. Wine is obviously popular. Mm-hmm. You would see that. But, I mean, I spent maybe 6 to 7 hours in Strasbourg. So, like, if I would have been there, like, through dinner and could have, like, hung out more and gotten mm-hmm. to see a little bit more of it.
I asked because, you know, when I was in Germany and Austria, the one thing that did hit me in that area, which obviously is a big beer drinking area, right? Germany.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Austria, is how little people drink hard liquor and how much people drink beer. But, yes, they'll have white wine. Not really much red wine, but almost always white. Always with a meal. The white wine is with a meal. You're not just see people just drinking wine by itself. But tons of beer. And if they do drink liquor, it's usually not the way that we would drink liquor in the U.S., right? Because we're such a melting pot, right? But there you're not going to see people having, you know, drink after drink of hard liquor. It's usually just a very small amount of, like, schnapps or schnapsle, like, in a very small little glass. They'll sip it after a meal and that's it. And then they go right back to beer. So I was curious if you saw that in the area, too, where people are drinking
beer. Yeah, not so much in France, but like I said, we were only there through, like, the late afternoon, so it wasn't, you know, it would have been, like, right around happy hour when mm-hmm. we were, like, heading back to the boat, so I couldn't really, mm-hmm. you know, gauge
Again,
what was going on.
Again, this is why my family left.
So are you part French? I thought you were not part French.
We're German.
Okay.
I'm like,
so you're still bitter
something.
That Strasbourg is part of France
yes!
right now?
Yeah, we want it back. No, but I believe. That's what I believe. I believe they're right from the Alsace area.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told.
Okay.
And then my Polish side is at the border of Poland and Germany that's gone back and forth 15 times too. And my Irish side, well, we won't even get into that, yeah. right? Are we English? Are we Irish? Are we, you know, who knows what we are? So, you know, my people, we're occupied.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah. We're like, we got to get out of here.
You're always hanging out right by the border.
Right by the border. We're like, we're these border towns. We got to get out of here.
All right. Let's do second round of trivia.
Nice.
You can ask me.
Okay.
See how this goes.
This is a good question. I don't know the answer to this. The word gin comes from the Latin for what? Dry, juniper, or spirit? So gin is Latin for something.
Well, I'm going to guess juniper because gin has to have juniper in it to technically be gin. So I'm going to say juniper.
You are 100% correct. Ah. Answer. Juniper from the Latin word. I mean, I don't speak Latin, but
just try it.
Juniperus.
Oh, there you go.
That's 8 years of Spanish. I mean, it's pretty close, right? Romantic language.
Yeah.
That looks I cool. think so. Yeah. They're all Latin languages.
That works for
Juniperus.
Me. All right. Before we hop into Off the Beaten Trail, yes. anything else that you wanted to cover? Are you ready to just jump into that?
I'm going to sip on this drink more, Brian. This is good, you know. What I'll say
don't
about
have to
the
slam these. We're in no hurry, Drew.
Hey, you know what I'll tell you? The first one was good all the way through. First sip, second sip, third
sip. The gin
sip,
you're saying? Fifth.
Oh, just 100%.
You mean the right. gin and tonic?
The gin and tonic.
Okay.
All of it.
Yep.
Just all of it, Brian. Just all of it. Open the bottle, drink it down. This one, the first, like, two or three sips, maybe because I was comparing it too much to the first one, but I thought, I don't know if I like this one as much as the first, but this one, the more you have of it, I think it kind of wakes up like the taste buds because it has so many botanicals in it.
Well, and I think the other thing is also, since it has so many botanicals, like, as you sit there and the ice melts a little bit,
yes,
like, even when we do, like, the little sippers, like, mm-hmm. I always drop a couple of drops of water into it because allegedly, and I've just done it because mm-hmm. it seems to, but allegedly it helps to start to unlock the botanicals.
They say the same thing about scotch. Do you drink scotch at all or no?
Yeah. But on like the rocks, I always like stuff on the rocks. I'm not a huge, just like neat.
I drink scotch and water, just like my grandma did.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I like just plain water, not soda water.
Yeah.
Not icy. Well, I'll put maybe a couple glasses, a couple cubes of ice in it once in a while. But, oh my gosh,
yeah.
We'll get into scotch. So I'm gonna, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
A little water.
Like, for me, like,
scotch, gotta have a little water.
Scotch and whiskey, I'll just put a little bit on ice, mm-hmm. and then I like it that way. Because mm-hmm. then the ice, I like it a little cool, and then the ice starts to, you know, just melt. And so
you ready for the off the beaten path from.
Yes, and you said you wanted to go first.
I will. So and I'm opening up my backpack. As Brian knows,
my infamous backpack. Whenever we go out, that has allowed us to not get into places before, because they're like, we can't.
They're worried what I may have in this. You know, what might be in this backpack?
It's a bag of fun, and they just don't know.
It always is. You know, there might be a growler in there. There may be a bottle of gin in there. But today, I have something, and I actually put it in a bag, so I wouldn't. And I know you're going to be like, what in the heck is this? Now, hang on a second. Yes, Brian, hang on. I know. Wait.
All right.
Yes. And so, Brian, what do we have here?
It looks like you're pulling pop-out drinks.
I sure am. So, I am bringing back for a moment, and then we'll get into this in a second. Pepsi and Coca-Cola, right?
Yes.
So, Brian, what do you see when you see two cans next to each other like this?
I was just going to make a joke there.
As Brian's ready to throw the Pepsi on the ground.
So when we were kids, or probably when I was older and you were a kid, mm-hmm. They used to have the taste test.
Yes, the Coke. Pepsi Challenge.
Yes, the Pepsi Challenge.
The Cola Wars, as they call it, right? So I was reading something the other day, and I thought to myself, this would be interesting for us to talk about during our off-beam path. Because Coke and Pepsi, right?
Yep.
Two great American brands. They've been around for a long time. Everybody has it's like politics, right? Everybody has an opinion. Most people are wrong with their opinion. Most people think they're right with their opinion.
The cans are red and blue.
Exactly. Good point on that too. But the Cola War. So I brought a can of Coca-Cola, original taste, of course. Or do you remember when New Coke went away?
Oh, what a debacle.
Oh, good God. I tell you, why would they do that? It's like, what the
I have no idea.
Thinking? What were they thinking?
Yeah.
Right?
I have no idea.
So, and then remember when they first brought back, you know, original Coke, and it had that little thing on the side that said something like original flavor. It was in a circle. Do you remember that?
Sorta.
It was in a circle on the side of the can, so something like original flavor.
They were just trying to dig themselves out of a hole.
No kidding. I mean, what the hell were they thinking? But anyway, so I brought a can of regular red can Coca-Cola and a can of Pepsi. Now, before I open them and talk, we'll talk about the Pepsi and Coke challenge and the wars real quick. So, Brian, growing up, which soda did you drink and what soda do you drink now?
So when I was a kid, wait, I see what you're pouring.
No, it's okay. We're not doing that. You'll see what we're doing in a second.
So here's the funny part. When I was a kid, my preference was Pepsi.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep, my aunt. I mean, not that I didn't like Coke, mm-hmm. But Pepsi was my preference. Dee always had Pepsi for us at her house. I would have Pepsi at home. But then, I don't know, like once I think I got into about college or so, mm-hmm. I went Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's to the point where I don't even like Pepsi, sort of.
I've heard Coke you say at a restaurant before, do you have Coke or Pepsi? The waitress said Pepsi, and you said, no thanks, I'll have water.
Yes. That is true.
You are very adamant pro Coke and very anti Pepsi.
As my nieces like to call me Uncle Picky, I sometimes have particular tastes. And I've just gone, like, to me, the Pepsi almost tastes like too sweet now. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So, and the Coke. But if I had my preference, it would be a root beer.
Really?
For me, yeah. Like, I would take a root beer over either of those.
For me, I'll tell you right now, I love the taste of regular Coca-Cola. It is by far, I literally think when they manufactured this 150 years ago, it's like, how do we come up with something that's quasi-addictive that will appeal to anyone who drinks it?
And they're like, because, what if we put some cocaine in it?
Yes, and then it becomes addictive. But I love the taste of regular Coke. I was a Coke kid growing up. My parents always bought Coke. There were only a few people I knew that actually bought Pepsi. David was one of them. His parents would buy Pepsi. And I don't hate it. I wouldn't say I'd rather have water. If I go to a Taco Bell, I think that was the only place growing up that may have had Pepsi. Because Pizza Hut, when we were kids, did Pizza Hut have Coke or Pepsi?
Coke. Well, here's what I don't understand. So Pepsi, the corporation, owns Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And don't they own Pizza Hut?
And is it Pizza Hut?
I think they used to, at least.
I feel like there's one of them.
You would think they'd be serving it there, though.
I'm trying to think. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell. Maybe it's Pizza Hut?
Uh-huh. I think they did.
Okay, so if you're any other company, why would you serve Pepsi in your restaurant? Because you're basically funding the opposition. Like, it is the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
Like, you should just serve Coke or just forget the Pops and Royal Crown and Kool-Aid. Like, I don't know, but like, I can't.
Did you know anyone who drank Royal Crown?
Oh, my parents?
Royal Crown?
Oh, RC was a big...
Jenny's grandparents did, too. They drank Royal Crown.
I was just out in San Francisco last weekend. I had to go to the store for gym.
Wasn't that used to take, like, rust off mufflers? I mean, that stuff, that was pretty strong, wasn't it?
No, it was good. But so I went and picked up this Whole Foods Cola.
Right.
And it reminded me of RC.
Really?
Yeah. So I
always drank regular... Well, here. So, in your left hand... I'm going to tell you which one's which, because left for me and for you are both regular
Coke. I totally
Coca-Cola.
Wasn't paying attention to
this. This is your Coke. Right? This is your Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
But here's the funny thing. And I'm going to get into the why I brought these in a second, other than talking about the Cola Wars. But do the opposite. Drink the one on your right first. This is the Pepsi. And it's important that you only take a sip. Just, like, not drink the whole glass.
Should I have a peanut before to cleanse my palate?
It's okay.
Okay.
Just the sip. Okay, and then...
I just had a sip. I just slam it.
Okay, and then maybe have a sip of the gin. Why not, right?
Okay.
And then have a sip of the Coca-Cola, the one on the left.
I'm going to have a peanut. Because it's going to be spicy. Obviously, the peanut takes care of everything.
I'm trying to mimic our Cola Wars here, right? But the important part was only the sip. So when you took the sip of the two... Which one, just taking the instant sip, do you think, well, that tasted pretty good? And this is the reason why Coke said they lost the Cola Wars.
Actually, they both, I mean, just doing a sip.
They both taste good.
They both, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's because humans, right, like we, you know, certain tastes we crave, right? Salt, sweets, and all that kind of thing. The flavor profile within Pepsi is sweeter. It's funny why you said, it tastes sweeter to me. It tastes too sweet. I can't drink a lot of it. That's the reason why. So Coke, after it all ended and the whole debacle ended. See, I'm defending Coke here, right? I'm a Coke head, right? But so what they said was, well, of course Pepsi won because you were only taking a sip. And people, when you only take just a slight sip of it, just the little Dixie cup.
Sure.
They say, oh, it tastes
sugar.
Good. It's instant sugar.
Yeah.
So they say, well, of course they liked it because it's sweeter up front. But will people drink a whole can? And then they went back and they blind tasted tested people. And they said, drink this whole can. People got about halfway down and like, oh, it's too sweet. No, thanks.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny? But they don't talk about that, right? Where Coke has more of that, like, longer lasting, I can drink a whole glass of it, or it tastes better with other foods because it's not quite as sweet.
Yeah.
They say Pepsi tastes like a lemon and sugar mixed together with a cola, right? I never really taste the lemony as much, but they say it's like a citrus and cola and sugar mixed together for a Pepsi, which tends to appeal for just a sip. Versus Coke, which has that more longer-lasting appeal. Say longer. I've done my research here. Also, the other funny thing, and I don't know if this is so true, but they said that they labeled the cups with letters. This is Coke's defense of this right now. Okay. They said they labeled the cups with letters, and I think that the Coca-Cola cups always had like the letter Q on it, and the Pepsi cops had the letter R.
Wait, who is running
this? Who is running these things? Yeah. I know, right?
Was it Pepsi? Because they
Of course they were, because they were running the Cola Wars. And people say, well, if you put the letter Q on something, it's a letter that we don't use a lot in America, right? It's one of our least used, if not our least used letter, right? So people see Q and they're like, oh, what is this, right? Also, you put an R on something, right? It's always used, right? So they start to see R. Well, Pepsi was an R and Coke was in Q and something along those lines. Now, I don't know as much about that, but I will say that I do agree with their first opinion that Pepsi tastes darn good if you only have a sip. I do. I won't throw it on the ground or say I'd rather have water. Pepsi does taste good if you only have a sip. But if you want to have a whole glass of it over ice with some delicious pizza and breadsticks from Pizza Hut. Oh my gosh, then you have to have a Coca-Cola. It's what we grew up with, you know what I mean? The wax paper cups. If Coke could bring back their wax paper cups. Remember those when we were kids?
No, all Coke has to do is figure out a way that every Coke you ever get is served like you get it at McDonald's. Because they've got that fatter straw.
Dude, it's amazing.
And it is like a hit of happiness that you take when you get a Coke from McDonald's.
And notice what cup I'm drinking out of. I'm not drinking out of my Pepsi cup. I'm drinking out of my Coke cup.
Of course,
because
right? You know it's going to be
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, so, this was my off-the-beaten-path today. I know it's...
Wow, this is our first different... yeah. This is like a... It was off-the-beaten-path today was a history lesson.
Exactly, and a drink. Because I thought this would kind of tie it together. History and drinks and everything good about colas. And I do like Pepsi. I think that they do a good job, but not as good as Coke.
I don't think Pepsi's trash, but I would always pick a Coke over a Pepsi right now. Here's one funny thing, though, I think. Okay, right, you get a pop, right? 12 ounces. You get beers, they're 12 ounces. We would never go to a tailgate and be like, man, I'm going to go bomb like 5 Cokes. We would never do that. But we would not hesitate to have 5 beers and think twice about it.
Oh, no.
Yet, we're consuming the same amount of liquid.
That's right.
Isn't that funny?
I know.
But it's like if you imagine trying to drink that much of a pop, you're just like, I'm not doing that.
What pop did you have in college? Did you guys have pop at your dorm and in your apartment and stuff in your house?
What do you mean?
Did you have Coke or Pepsi?
We probably had both. I don't remember.
I bet we always had Coke. That's the thing. I'm wondering how they do this, right? Coke, they wrap us in forever and ever.
I think it's the wax paper cups. Or you just go to a stadium, you know, the stadium is just buy, you know, the stadium is like, oh, you're only going to sell like this here. And it seems to me like Pepsi has a bigger footprint in that. Like if you go to movie theaters and stadiums.
That's true. Spartan Stadium only sells Pepsi.
It tends to be more Pepsi than Coke.
Yeah.
So, So I don't know. Well, we haven't done that one before, so thanks, Drew.
I thought that'd be fun. Yeah, yep, something different. Last time we talked about a book I had read, so I thought this time I'd talk about a pop I've been drinking for 4 years.
Well, for me, I'm going to have to switch it up moving into the next episode or two, because this is my third movie in a row to start off. But when I can, I like to try to tie in something to the theme. So mine is a movie, and it is a French film. Have you ever seen Amelie?
No.
Okay. So it's a French film that came out in 2001. So it was a nominee for then Best Foreign Film for the Oscars in 2002. It did not win, but it was one of the, back then they had 3 or 5 nominees for Best Foreign Film. It didn't win, but like everyone was raving like about that movie. And I was still my early 30s back then, and I was still sort of the thinking that, well, if everyone likes it, I'm not going to like it because, you know, whatever. So it took me a couple years to, like, watch it.
Now, this is a French film.
It's a French film.
All in French? Are you speaking French?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
subtitles?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, yeah, subtitles. It's a French film. And so, I don't know, this is probably then, like, 04 or 05 when I was up in the old apartment. Nice. Overlooking downtown.
Bell
where you've been up there.
Amazing.
Stockbridge Pub 2.
Yeah, I may have had a couple of gin and tonics up there from time to time.
Yeah. And there was a... And I can't even remember what it was, but there was a really nice little place you could rent movies from downtown. It was like on Division Street. So I'd walk down there, and the hilarious thing is that kid, the guy who owned it, a good friend of mine, Terry Gaskey, would babysit him back in the day. So it was, anyhow, it was just kind of funny because he was from Ludington, and that's how I found that out. Anyways, so finally one day I'm like, I'm just going to get it because I don't know. So I got it. It was great. I don't know why I was such a idiot stick in the mud about it. It was just a really well done movie. So, it's a I would say sort of like a whimsical, lighthearted film. And after you watch it, you just sort of feel good. Like, it is one of those movies you watch and it gives you a little bit of like faith in humanity, let's say. The gist of the storyline is this girl is born and her parents incorrectly think that she has a heart condition. So they like keep her home. She lives a pretty like sheltered, protective life. And in that isolation, she just develops quite an imagination. So eventually, though, she grows up, she moves to Paris, ends up being a waitress at like a little restaurant, and then through a set of different circumstances, and I don't want to give too much away, she ends up starting to get involved in like the lives of people around her, trying to make their lives better. And the movie's kind of like based on that. And it's just a really feel good.
What's the name of the
movie? It's called Amelie.
Amelie.
Yep. A-M-E-L-I-E. You can basically rent it through like Prime or Apple TV or Showtime. Like they all offer it. It's subtitled. But it is, I would probably say in terms of foreign films, it is probably in my top five of foreign films that I've seen. It's just
really,
really well done. But this one just, it definitely just, you kind of finish it and you just kind of feel good, which is nice. And sometimes you just need a little bit of, little injection of joy or happiness in your life.
As good as Weird Science, though. You know I like Weird Science.
Different than Weird Science. Definitely different than Weird Science. Funny in its own way.
Okay.
But yeah, it's yeah, I would say top five for me in terms of foreign films I've ever seen.
Nice. Really well done. Check it out.
Yeah. And I really kick myself then for like not watching it for the first few years. Like I'm like, oh, I should have watched that like earlier. So I try to be more.
I don't think I've ever seen a foreign film. Stuff.
Maybe God, like one. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
How have you not seen a foreign film? Are you serious? How are we even friends? What are you doing here?
Well, what would be another foreign film I'd watch? I don't know.
Drew, there's so many good foreign films.
I mean, like Star Wars from a galaxy far, far away. But is that
that's still an American.
Is that foreign?
That's
I don't
American
know.
Made film. Like
maybe not the new ones though. Oh god. The new trilogy of Star Wars is awful.
What do you mean?
The new ones. I don't care for the new ones.
Wait, are you talking about the prequels, like with the Phantom Menace? Are you
no,
talking about
I like those, actually.
Are you talking about the last three that
the
came
last
like,
three.
After?
Yeah, the last
three. Oh, really?
I mean, there's parts of it that I don't absolutely hate, but overall, they're probably not my favorite.
So this is my opinion about those.
Mm-hmm.
They went and looked at the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what do people like out of those?
Yes.
And if you go watch the last three movies, they're basically, in my opinion, sort of photocopies of the original trilogy.
That's why I didn't care for it. Yep.
Because you're getting the story told back to you again.
Yeah, that's all it is, right? It's like David Bowie said, write your own damn music.
So the funny thing is, I think, enjoyed those more, though, than the prequels.
You're kidding.
I think I did.
Hmm. Like I like the prequels.
Like, if I go back. But I will also say this, though. I'm also influenced because my nieces were growing up, and those movies used to come out at Christmas. And so it was like a family thing for us to go, like, catch the new Star Wars movie. So there could be some nostalgia involved with seeing those movies in the theater with Gemma and Esme as well. But overall, they still can't touch, like, the original three.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, those are just...
Now, out of the original three... Just think of the original three from when we were kids. Which was your favorite and why?
I think I will always say the first Star Wars, 1977,
really?
Was my favorite because it was just unlike anything I had ever seen. I think I saw it seven times in the theater.
Do you remember seeing that in the theater?
Oh, yeah. Like, I was 7 years old. Well, I was turning seven because it came out in 77. I think I talked three of my uncles. I got to see that movie in the theater seven times that summer. I think I talked three of my uncles into it. I got Dee to take me twice, Mom, and I'm sure I tagged along with a friend. So here's the crazy part. In Kalamazoo, so I'm sure this is other parts of the country, there were different cuts of the film.
Yes, I heard that.
So in one of them, when they're on Tatooine early on, all of a sudden you see like these stormtroopers and they're riding this big lizard.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in every cut of the film, but it was a toy that came out. And I had some friends who were like, what is this toy? And I was like, no, it was in one of the.
Yeah.
And, but if you didn't see that version of the film, and when he remastered it, it was in that version of it again. But it wasn't in every. Anyhow. So that, but as I. As I have gotten older, I would say the original Star Wars is my favorite, what I think is the best film, though, is Empire Strikes Back.
I agree.
And as That'd I get older, I think that appeals more to adults.
I like Empire Strikes Back. That's probably my favorite. But the one that I clearly remember when it came out was Return of the Jedi, though. I remember even going to, like, Pizza Hut, and they had, like, the promo glasses and
because that was probably the first one you can remember seeing in the theater.
That's the first one I remember seeing in the theater.
Yeah, because you were too young for the other two.
Right. I mean, I was just, what was I, two or three or something, I think, or four, maybe, when the...
Well, you were born in 79, and those came out in 77, 80, and 83, 80, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, very little. And, but that one, I remember going to, you know, Burger King and to Pizza Hut and places like that, and they had all the promotion stuff for Return of the Jedi. It was amazing.
Drew, I had all those toys. It was unbelievable. I mean, that was such a big part of, like, toys in my childhood and, like, just playing. I mean, it was, I had the Millennium Falcon. I used to, you know.
Did you have the big plastic one? The huge one?
That would pop off.
Yes! You had that?
Oh, yeah. And here's what you could do. You remember,
I was poor. I had to grow up. I played with, like, toilet paper rolls. Are you kidding me?
You and I were. Do you remember, like, Poppets or Snap-its? Like,
those little white things. You throw them on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you threw those at the Millennium Falcon and when it popped, it left
the black mark, like, on the ground.
A black mark. So I would throw it at that to, like, mark it up a little bit to make it look like it got shot up by TIE fighters.
Look at this guy playing with this toy. I had to play with toilet paper rolls.
When I was, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, I remember begging my mom to give me $20 out of my college fund so I could buy the X-Wing. And she was like, no.
Yeah.
And she, like, held the line in the sand. Eventually, somehow, I got it for, like, Christmas or my birthday. But I remember just being like, it's $20.
Oh.
But back then, it was like...
Oh, that'd be like $400 now.
For sure. But, I mean, she just wouldn't budge on that. It was so frustrating. It took me forever to get that. So, yeah. And I had the Death Star.
And you had that too?
Yep, and I had Vader's TIE Fighter.
Were you sitting on an oil well in your backyard?
No, nothing like that. It was, here's what it is. If you're the first born on a side of the family, and it's Christmas, and all your aunt and uncles don't have kids yet, or they're just starting you, but they still buy presents for you, when you're a kid, that's how you get all that.
Boy, I was screwed. I was smack dab in the middle on both. That's why they were like, here's a stick.
On the heater side, I was the first one through.
They just handed me a stick. Well, you know what? Adam and I, my mom, Adam's my brother, for the folks listening. Adam and I, my mom had all these wrapping paper tubes, you know, like the wrapping paper.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And my mom would keep them, like, under her bed, right? Like, in this... I don't know, it's like a large cardboard box, right, that she'd slide into that had all these wrapping paper tubes in it. So Adam and I would slide out the cardboard insert and act like they were lightsabers and smash each other with them. My mom would go to, like, take the wrapping paper.
There's a video on my phone of me doing that with my nieces, like, 3 years ago.
My mom would go get the cardboard box out. She's like, what in the hell? Where's all the inserts?
No,
these
they're
things?
Perfect for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can whack the crap out of each other, but it doesn't hurt and it doesn't leave a mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, as opposed to a wiffle ball bat that I also used as, like, a weapon. Those do. So, note to self, if you're a kid, use the wrapping paper.
Yeah, the wrapping paper insert.
Just doesn't hurt at all. So, well, this is great. Well, Drew, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah. You betcha. And this season, your brother is going to be on later.
Oh, Adam.
Yep, yeah. Adam. Yeah. So mentioned. I got to
ask him about the inserts to the wrapping paper.
Yeah, yeah.
That we'd smash
I'll
each other.
Know. Yeah. So, well, great. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. Feel free to subscribe to us on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. Also, I want to take a quick minute to thank Darren Vandermolen for all of his help behind the scenes. Without him, this podcast probably wouldn't even exist, and his help is greatly appreciated. Hope you have a great week, and we will look forward to seeing you the next time we go down the botanical trails. This has been a Shits and Giggles production.